Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another edition of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. That is me, speaking to you guys, Eddie Greer III, host of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of motorsports. Getting closer, folks. Closer and closer to Speed Weeks. Get Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And on this edition, this week, on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, we got the Truck Series preview going down here on a special edition here. As I'm recording this afternoon, of course, on a final day in January 31st, 2020, this episode will go out on its usual day on Wednesday. Got you covered here. And we have a special guest returning to the podcast here to help us explain all the changes and movements of what's going on in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Before we dive on in and continue on with this episode of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie again, folks. At EG3_FastEddie again. And find the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's from Spotify, Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more, folks. And yes, I said Big D is not here this afternoon. He is still at work. I'm in control and command here with this interview here this afternoon. And of course, again, I just told you guys this will be out, if you're listening to it right now, Wednesday night on its usual day. The podcast goes out for the 3-Wide Podcast. So yes, we got a few minutes before our special guest here arrives, or I shouldn't say arrive. I'm going to call him here in a few minutes. But before we speak to him about the Truck Series, of course, currently, what's going on right now, of course, later on tonight, of course, obviously, this podcast will go out Wednesday, so it'll already be introduced, but again, a refresher here, Hall of Fame Class of 2020 going down here in a few hours here, likes Buddy Baker, Joe Gibbs, Bobby Labonte, Tony Stewart, and Waddell Wilson. We'll expand the list of the NASCAR Hall of Famers to 55 by week's end. The inductions going down this evening in Charlotte. Once again, Tony Stewart, Joe Gibbs, Bobby Labonte, Buddy Baker, and Waddell Wilson. What a class that is. And soon enough, we will know the next class that's going to go in for 2021. But focus in the moment, folks. Yes, these guys going in to the Hall of Fame in Charlotte. And of course, yes, we will know also when this podcast comes out when the winner of the Super Bowl is, obviously, with the Kansas City Chiefs right here. You know what I mean? We're, again, for those of you who don't know, I live 2 hours away, Manhattan, just right at 2 hours away from Kansas City. And if Kansas City Chiefs were to pull this off after 50 years, after our last championship in over half a century, 50 years of waiting against the San Francisco 49ers, that's going to be some scene. I mean, yeah, I was talking to someone earlier this week, and yeah, the Royals won the World Series a few years back in a sea of blue, and all that in the Miz and KC. My goodness, if they were to knock out the 49ers here on Sunday night, that place is going to be, that city is going to be insane, along with the rest of Missouri, wherever you want to call it. I mean, just not KC, but Chiefs Kingdom is everywhere in the United States. Obviously, we're right in the thick of it. Manhattan, Kansas, folks. Spirit Day, and we're getting set here for the much anticipated Super Bowl here. Hopefully, it'll be a ton better than what it was last year. I said it last episode of the podcast. You have not downloaded the last episode of the podcast. I encourage you to go back to it and listen to a great episode here this afternoon. And then we're going to take a break here, get Briar on the line. And yes, Briar Starr from Speedway Media returns to the podcast to sort out the Truck Series here, give us a little preview here before it goes down. And man, it's almost crunch time, folks. obviously the Cup Series go down there here. The Rolex 24 went down over the weekend, and of course, Wayne Taylor Racing took care of that. Again, back-to-back titles for that group over there. So, definitely indeed, we will see what happens there. But nonetheless, folks, really excited for the Super Bowl Chiefs and the 49ers. Obviously, I'm going to get Briar's thoughts on that to close the episode out. So, in moments time here, we'll get him on the phone here, but we'll probably end it on that, and I probably will not be back on after the interview is over. So once that closes down, the music, closing music will play, and that's going to wrap things up for the truck preview episode of the Gannon Outdoor Truck Series here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. So I wanted to hop on here this afternoon here to give you the lowdown, obviously. And folks, before we get the music here for the intermission, boy, I got a treat for y'all here week after, not this upcoming week, obviously, with the podcast, but the next episode of 3-1 NASCAR Podcast. I'm going to keep that on silent, like I'm pretty good at silent. And we are booked with a big-time guest coming on the podcast here prior to Daytona. I am extremely excited to have him on the podcast. So pretty much, folks, the next two episodes, this one and the following one, leading up to the Daytona 500 preview and also review of the Clash, it's going to be lit. I tell you, that episode, after this one with Briar Starr, this thing, it's going to get lit, man. I tell you. So I'm really excited. Get you guys pumped up for Daytona. Obviously, yes, Super Bowl is Sunday. But when this podcast comes out, football will be in the books. College and NFL. And we can find. I'm already focused on NASCAR and baseball, obviously. With my team. Didn't make the playoffs, obviously. So, but yes, I'm paying attention to Chiefs right here. I'm right in the thick of it, so yeah, I'm going to pay attention. Obviously, I've been paying attention to Kansas City Chiefs for quite a few years now. Obviously, they're my second team, so we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Big D, huge Chiefs fan, and we'll have to see what unfolds. But yes, big time excitement plans already in the books here for the 3-Wide Podcast, and very excited you guys could tag along. Again, friends, tell your friends. Follow me at EG3_FastEddie and find it through our NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Audio Boom, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud. We're going to get the latest off-season episodes posted here, and we should be caught up from there. So, yeah, I'll end it on that. So, the mystery guest, y'all going to have to find out in another week or so. So, enjoy the rest of this podcast. And on the other side of this break, you know what it is. Briar Starr and Briar Starr will join me on the line here from Council Grove, Kansas. You're listening to 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're coming back after this.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
NASCAR Podcast is back on the grid once again. Eddie Grew III, host of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, pretty much, folks. Again, Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Final day in January and itching ever closer to Speed Weeks here, and obviously the Super Bowl here on Sunday, obviously. So there is that. But now, waiting on the line now, joining me on the 3Y NASCAR podcast for the second time from Speedway Media, Briar Starr. Briar, what's going on this Friday?
Doing splendid. Just kind of looking at some Truck Series news and notes, kind of getting an idea of who's all going to be racing in a Truck Series this year. And actually, we're kind of glad that we actually have some nice weather for once.
Yes, you got that right. Yeah, it's supposed to be a good weekend for us here in Kansas here this weekend, obviously the Super Bowl. I'll get your thoughts on that to cap the episode. But yeah, I've been looking at the truck stuff this week and trying to get used to all the new names and who's going to be competing this year in the Truck Series for 2020. I want to go back real quick here to last season before we fast forward to what we anticipate this year. Obviously, last year, Matt Crafton winning the title without winning the race at all. And Kyle Busch Motorsports going through changes with their program, Todd Gill and all that other stuff like that. Obviously, Ross Chastain, one of the bigger stories from last year, moving from the Xfinity Series over to Truck Series and finishing in a runner-up spot there. Stuart Friesen finally breaking through in the Truck Series. Brian, what stood out to you the most from last season?
I feel like what stood out the most to me was probably the Ross Chastain story. You know, he was racing full-time in Xfinity Series, and he did a couple of truck stuff here and there. But once he started having success in the Truck Series early in the season, and you know, the team he was competing for didn't really, in the previous years, didn't have the, I guess, equipment or so to say to run up front. But obviously, they got Chastain to run a couple of races, and I was actually there for his first win at Kansas, and we were all kind of wondering, well, is he going to maybe switch to the Truck Series after this? And he was saying, no, I'm not going to, because still committed to the Xfinity Series and like handshake deal and all that. And then, you know, he had more success, and then he finally switched over. So I would probably say that with him making the championship four, and I was actually kind of a little bit surprised that he didn't end up winning the championship, because it would obviously have been a feel-good story, you know, for the whole series, for the fans and all that sort of stuff. But I would say probably Ross Chastain would probably be the biggest story out of last season.
Yeah, like we've been talking about already here a few minutes in to the podcast. Yeah, Ross Chastain, tremendous story. Now Ross Chastain is moving up to the Xfinity Series and is going to be racing a couple Cup races here going into 2020. And he also, the other thing that I want to talk about here was Grant Infinger, the regular season champ from last year, the number 98 truck, winning that regular season title without also winning a race as well. And then I expected him to move through the playoffs and at least get to the Final Four. Obviously, that did not happen there. And I've been talking about on this podcast that, in my opinion, the 98 truck was the fastest in that Thor Sport racing group there. And I know they have four trucks, obviously, there. Only one win a year ago, that coming with Johnny Sauter back at Dover, where he's owned that place for quite a while. Going in team preview, now for Thor Sport, while I'm on the subject, what does Thor Sport need to do? Obviously, they probably got the most trucks in the Truck Series. What do they need to do to take a more of a step forward? Obviously, they made a transition manufacturer transition 2 years ago. They settled in, improved last year. What did they need to do to make themselves a little bit known going to 2020?
Probably just running up front a little bit more, winning a little bit more. You know, you talked about Johnny Sauter winning at Dover. I was actually kind of surprised that was his only win of the season. We all know Johnny and the Truck Series success that he has had over the last few years. I was just kind of a little shocked that he didn't win. Like, you know, I interviewed him last season, and he was like, I expect to have at least maybe, I asked him, like, how many wins do you think you'll have at the end of the season? And he was like, oh, probably four. And, you know, obviously he didn't reach that season win total that he was hoping to get. So I would probably say running up front a little bit more, grabbing those stage wins, that's really important because, as you talked about, Grant Anfinger did not make it through all the playoffs. And I feel like if he would have made it through, well, wins a few more stages and a couple of races, that probably would have helped him go to Homestead for that Championship Four advantage. So just win a little bit more. Obviously, they only won once, like you said, last season, which is really shocking. Maybe it could have been a down year for them, you know, with the switching manufacturers and everything. So, but hopefully, maybe this year they can turn that bad luck around and maybe they'll be the most dominant team out of that series.
This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast here with EG3. EG3, Eddie Gritter III, joined by Briar Starr from Speedway Media. And just, I want to touch base with Austin Hill here, kind of transferring along here. Austin Hill last year, a huge year for him. And then, obviously, you know, I just go back to him late last year in the playoffs, getting the pole at Phoenix. And then that team was out to lunch last year, and then he was in a position to get to the Championship Four. Obviously, not there. And then obviously Homestead, the cap off the year, he and that team had a fast truck, and Hattori Racing went back to back at Homestead. So you wondered if that was a missed opportunity there for Austin Hill there to possibly capitalize. Obviously, he's back with Hattori Racing full-time this year. What are your thoughts on Hill? He has some momentum going into this year. What are your thoughts? And obviously, Austin Hill, your defending winner from last year at Daytona. So what are your thoughts on Austin Hill? He seems to be interesting to me. I think I have him right up there back in the mix to compete for another, and with hopes for him to be a chance to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I think Austin Hill kind of surprised a lot of us last year, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we know Hattori Racing is a championship team, but we didn't know for sure how they would have handled the changes with a new driver coming in again and Moffitt leaving for GMS last year. And, you know, when he won at Daytona, you know, when people win at Daytona, they can either call it a fluke win or they can call it a year-not-win. Yeah, so you know, at Daytona, that's how it is.
Yep.
But then as the season went on, he continued to show his performance, got a few top fives, a few top tens. I mean, yeah, he had a couple with DNS, which may have hurt him, but really that didn't, because he still made the playoffs. But I feel like if he was able to get to that Champ Four, and we probably would have been talking about a different series champion right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. So Austin Hill, yeah, he turned a lot of heads last year. Obviously, did not see him. I didn't know much about him going into the season. Then when he won Daytona, like, okay, I mean, he could turn some heads a little bit, and sure he did. He won a couple of races in the postseason last year. So Hill, a year on his belt with Hattori Racing, and we'll see if he can make any progress here, make some adjustments here, and then hopefully for Austin, he can make another run, win some more races, and get himself back in the playoffs. I'll talk about the playoff situation in a little later on, but there's some old and new faces. Moving on to some new teams here. Again, like I told you, Briar, I've been looking at some of the names and teams, trying to get used to all that before 2020 kicks off here in a few weeks for NASCAR. And speaking of surprises, Tyler Ingram. Man, he surprised a lot of us last year, making the playoffs, winning at Kentucky, and making a deep run in the playoffs there. Obviously got eliminated there in the round of six with DGR Crossley, if I'm not mistaken. Now, he's basically moved over to a more competitive team with GMS Racing, along with Brett Moffitt there. So, what are your thoughts on Ingram here after his surprising run a year ago?
I feel like 2020 is going to be a big year for Ingram. Last year, he obviously kind of broke out late in the season. I think him winning at Kentucky was pretty much a monkey off his back sort of thing. You know, a lot of people didn't really, you know, expect him to win because, you know, he wasn't with a team that could, I mean, go up there and challenge for the win. But he was having some nice solid runs early on in the season, a couple of top tens here and there. And, you know, then after he won at Kentucky, he got second at Pocono and ninth at Eldora. And then, obviously, that performance kind of dropped off toward the later the season, which probably ended up hurting him trying to make into the Champ Four, which would have been really surprising if he would have got to the Champ Four in his rookie season. But I feel like this year is going to be a big year for him. Maybe it could be a big learning curve since he will be with a more, competitive team, if you want to put it that way. Obviously, he's going to have Brett Moffitt with him, so Moffitt will probably give him some learning tips. How much, I don't know, because we all know NASCAR drivers are competitive. So,
yep.
But, yeah, I feel like, I don't know if Ingram has anything to prove this year, but he probably will if he does not. I don't expect him to win right away, but if it's mid-year and he doesn't have a win, then we might have some questions.
Ingram moving up to a more competitive team. I mean, not to say that DGR Crossley is not a competitive team, but this is a step for Ingram in the right direction in terms of, you know, getting more of an opportunity to continue his success in a truck series. So that's going to be interesting to follow. And speaking of Brett Moffitt coming off another big year last year. And speaking of waiting to win until the midseason, that's what Moffitt did last year. Winning, he went on a run in the summer, and then he came up short in the championship there. And I was slightly surprised that Moffitt didn't win the championship last year myself there. So Moffitt, obviously a veteran in the truck series, and he's the lead dog in that four truck stable there as well. So yeah, I got to retract my statement from a few minutes ago. So, Thor Sports, four trucks. Now, GMS has four trucks as I'm looking at it right now. Obviously, we'll run down some of that here in a second. But, Briar, for Brett Moffitt to capture another championship, what does he have to do here to do that?
Just keep doing what he's doing. You know, obviously, probably win a little bit earlier than what he did last year, but I don't think he really has to change anything. Obviously, he has a new crew chief this year. I think it's Chad Norris who is his new crew chief. Last year was Jerry Baxter.
Yep.
And so that might affect it a little bit, because we all know it takes a little time for a new crew chief and a driver to chill. But I feel like maybe since they've had the off season and everything like that, maybe they might get that out of the way sooner rather than later. So that might be something to watch. But I feel like if Moffitt can keep on winning and keep doing what he's doing, he'll continue to have a breakout year. And I would probably consider 2019 to be a disappointment for him. You know, not being able to capitalize on that momentum and win that championship down there at Homestead.
Yeah, Moffitt, 4 wins a year ago, 13 top fives, 17 top tens, and total of 5 stage wins for Moffitt. So, yeah, definitely. Moffitt won early in the playoffs, back-to-back, if I'm not mistaken, last year, if my memory states correctly there. And then, yeah, it was very consistent. And then, yeah, just uncharacteristically, that 23 Chevrolet team, I think that was the number last year, or if that's a different number, you can correct me or not. But, yeah, Moffitt last year, that team kind of struggled at Homestead few months ago. So Moffitt, he's going to be up there in the mix. And yeah, his crew chief, new crew chief going into 2020 is Chad Norris. Tyler Ankrum, we touched on that. And looks like Chad Walter will lead Tyler Ankrum with that number 26 team there. And then a new name, well, not new, we saw him quite a bit in the Xfinity Series last year with great success on short tracks. Richmond, most notably, for Junior Motorsports. Zane Smith will be with GMS this year in the 21 truck. And Tyler Ankrum's old crew chief last year, Kevin Bono Mannion, well, he's going to be calling the shots for Zane Smith. I'm excited to see what Zane can do in a truck last year. I was very impressed what he did with Junior Motorsports last year in his few starts that he had there. So, Breyer, this move here to put, I mean, I want to call this a demotion, if you will, but Zane Smith getting more of a opportunity here to show his skills in the truck series with GMS and Kevin Bono Mannion. What do you think about it?
Yeah, it's a huge move from going to the from the Xfinity series to the truck series. I'm not sure. Smith has had any Truck Series starts, and he might have, but I can't really remember at this moment. And a couple of unique items. This will actually be the first time since 2017 that the number 21 truck will be full time. And that was Johnny Sauter's year when he won the championship with the number 21.
That's right.
Smith will probably have a little bit of an expectation driving that truck since Johnny was so successful with it those 2 years he was with GMS. And so I don't know if he'll be in the Champ Four. He'll probably be in the playoffs with the playoffs expanded to 10.
Knowing how
GMS is a great team and they know how to run up front and get those wins. I probably expect Zane to have at least maybe 2, maybe 3 wins at the end of the season.
Oh, wow. That's a bold prediction right here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And last year, real quick, with Zane Smith, made 10 starts a year ago with Junior Motorsports in that number 8 ride was shared with a few drivers. 2 top 5s, 7 top 10s for Zane Smith last year in that number 8 for Junior Motorsports. And the other truck, we have not mentioned this guy yet on the program. None other than Sheldon Creed is back. Jeff Stakowitz, crew chief, will stay crew chief with Sheldon Creed last year. Creed finished 10th in the points last year. And what comes to my mind with Sheldon Creed, his tremendous effort at IMS a year ago and missing the playoffs last year. And Breyer, what does Sheldon Creed have to do? Obviously, he's got a full season under his belt here with GMS. Can Creed take it to the next level? Obviously, we went through his teammates, Smith, Ankrum, and Moffitt. What can Creed do to kind of build on last year? And can he, with the expansion of the playoffs, again, we'll talk about that here a little bit, can Creed take his team to the next level and get themselves where they can be a little bit more consistent?
I truly believe so. You know, we've seen Creed be so successful in the ARCA series. I think he won the ARCA championship in 2018, had 4 wins that year. So we know what he can win. And he had, you know, 4 top 5s, 11 top 10s last year. I feel like this will be a year that he needs to break out in the Truck Series if he wants to keep on racing, because as we know, some drivers don't break out and are kind of left behind a little bit the year after. So I feel like he needs to win a few races and maybe make a run for that championship in, at Phoenix this year and not at Homestead. So just probably improving the top five, top ten of performances. He led 180 laps last year, so he was up front a lot. Just trying to close that deal on the wins, I feel like will be the most important factor going into 2020.
Yeah, Sheldon Creed looking for that elusive win here in 2020 here. Obviously, you win, you make the postseason in the Truck Series. No wins a year ago, obviously the big goose egg right there. Four top fives, 11 top tens for Creed, and he scored three stage wins. So he knows how to run up front. We saw it late in the second half of the regular season last year and a little bit in the playoffs, which Creed did not make the playoffs. So Sheldon Creed looking to take it to the next step there. And then before we dive into another team here, I want to jump back up the finishing order from last year. The 52 truck of Stuart Friesen. Last year, finally, breaking through in the Truck Series after missed opportunity after missed opportunity for him. Two wins a year ago, three stage wins, 16 top 10s, and 12 top 5s. And obviously, we know Friesen's dirt background. He went out of Eldora, which was the first one, and then he made a huge statement in the playoffs late at Phoenix with his big win at Phoenix there, and then was right there in the mix at Homestead, and then a little bit of a driving error there with one of the slower trucks cost him there an opportunity for Stuart Friesen. So, and with that whole team there with Hallmark Racing, Breyer, they moved switch manufacturers. They want to take it to the next step. So this organization right now, they got a little mojo going on going into 2020 with this manufacturer change over from Chevrolet to Toyota. What does this organization, what does that impact do for Stuart Friesen and that whole entire 52 truck?
Well, you know, anytime you make changes to the race team, it's obviously going to be a learning experience for everyone involved. But as we've seen in recent years, Toyota has just dominated the Truck Series, Xfinity Cup, you know, all the series involved. And, you know, obviously Kyle Busch Motorsports didn't have a good season last season, but in recent years they were winning championships, owning championships, notching all these wins up. So I feel like maybe with Friesen, the Hallmark Racing switching to Toyota and getting their trucks built by KBM this year, that is actually probably going to improve their performance, and obviously they're going to have a lot of pressure on them to perform well. As we know, KBM, they perform well, and so it's going to be a, you know, Friesen is going to have to probably, I guess, prove himself again to the masses and say, hey, no matter what you put me in, I can win it. So he'll definitely probably have a good year if they can get over that learning experience of switching manufacturers. We've seen sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. So we'll just have to, you know, obviously we haven't seen any on-track action yet, so we'll just have to wait and see a little bit.
This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here with Briar Starr of Speedway Media. You're right. Yeah, that's for sure. Got to wait and see what happens in the first few races. Obviously, Daytona, you talked about it already, Briar, here this afternoon, that, yeah, anything can happen on the Speedway track there, and then you got a couple races. We'll talk about the schedule here in a little bit, and that's actually a nice transition. Briar, you mentioned KBM and how competitive Kyle Busch is, the defending NASCAR Cup Series champ. So let's talk about them. Kyle Busch, obviously, last year in his race team, truck team last year, obviously wasn't happy, throwing his drivers under the bus. Todd Gillen, Harrison Burton moving on to the Xfinity Series. Joe Gibbs' team while Todd Gillen, which we'll talk about here after Kyle Busch, Todd Gillen moves to a new team in the truck series. Kyle Busch Motorsports basically resets their driver's lineup here. Well, not resets, but there are a couple of drivers now in them rides. Obviously, Kyle Busch will be back in the 51, his own truck. Chandler Smith, who we saw a couple of races last year and was very impressive. And then you have Christian Eckes, who I really like. It's going to be in the 18 Toyota truck. And then you have Rafael Lassard going to the number 4, basically replacing Gillen in the 4 truck. And so with Mike Hillman Jr. calling the shots, Rudy Fugel now moves over from the 51 over to the 18. So he has some familiarity with Eckes there from working together from a few races from a year ago. This is going to be really intriguing for me because Kyle Busch, we know how he is, obviously. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole. So now, Eckes, very impressive, and Lassard, we've seen him quite a bit in the truck series, run quite a bit of races. So what are your thoughts on Kyle Busch Motorsports' new look team going into 2020? Can they win more races than a year ago? Obviously, as an organization, they did not meet the postseason, and Gillen won late at Martinsville, and then we all know what happened after all on the radio after that win there. So can this team, with the drivers that Kyle Busch put in his trucks, win a few more races with that type of equipment that they have?
Well, I will say this. One word to describe all that is a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure for both of these drivers to perform to their best of ability. We obviously know Eckes can perform well. He won the ARCA championship last year, had a breakout year in that series. And Eckes has been in the truck series for a couple of years now on a part-time basis and has actually kind of exceeded his expectations of what to do. But now being full-time, he's going to have, they expect to be winning, I don't know a lot, but winning and being consistent throughout the season, running in the top five. We all know that anything less than the top five will be a disappointment. But one driver I'm really interested in and curious to watch will be that Rafael Lassard. I think he made like 5 starts last year. And so it'll be interesting to see if Lassard can win any races. He comes from the short track experience route, so obviously he can win down there, but this is a whole new unique experience for him. But like we said, he has a little bit of races under his belt. He might get a win or two, but if anything, he'll probably get some top 10s and maybe top 5. I'm predicting at least one win coming out of Lassard.
Interesting. So, yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, Lassard last year, my memory states correctly, he ran Bristol and a couple other races that don't come up to my mind at the moment. But definitely, for sure, Kyle Busch Motorsports, you're expected to be really competitive. And obviously, Kyle Busch will be driving his own truck again in that 51. And, of course, Danny Stockman, a familiar name in NASCAR, will be calling the shots for that 51 truck, which saw, of course, Kyle Busch win a lot of races, pretty much all his races last year. And top it all off, Greg Biffle, from basically from wherever he came from, wins Texas, which was pretty cool to see last year. So yeah, that kind of, if you're a young driver for Kyle Busch, that had to really put the pressure on you just from that aspect. So Greg Biffle, who hasn't driven in 5, 6, 7 years, I can't even count. But yeah, if Biffle can win that truck, sure, Eckes, Lassard can have an opportunity to do the same thing as going and win those trucks. So Kyle Busch, obviously, Motorsports, with the playoffs expanded again, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. They have a chance to make the postseason and hopefully for those guys, for that organization, win to get in or otherwise, I mean, given with the field with new guys in the truck series this year, they're going to have to race in on points.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. They're going to have to really kind of step their game up. I mean, like we talked about, Lazard is going to be kind of a learning curve for him, but I feel like midpoint in the season, you're going to be used to racing in the truck, and you're probably going to be expected to win here on out.
And then also, I mentioned Todd Gilliland for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Todd Gilliland last year finally getting that elusive win and then throwing Kyle Busch under the bus there after the Martinsville win there and then trying to take it back there. But obviously, there was a lot of tension there between Todd and KB over there that whole year last year with that whole episode there and not getting the respect that he deserved there and then getting the win there, and then that was marred by his comments last year. So now you flip the page for Gilliland, the 2020, where Front Row Motorsports, who we see on a normal basis in the NASCAR Cup Series, opens up a Truck Series program, which Todd Gilliland will be running full-time. That will be interesting for me to watch here this year. I'm just excited for the Truck Series in general, but Todd Gilliland, that's another interesting storyline to follow to start the season. And with his dad, with all the four connections there, this is going to be a this could be a good move for Todd Gilliland. A fresh start, an opportunity to, hey, you know, let's get on track here. And we all know Todd Gilliland can run up front. And Todd Gilliland now, he's got that win. Can he win multiple races with Front Row Motorsports in the Truck Series this year?
That's a really great question. I'm not so sure with the announcement coming so late in the quote-unquote off-season and with Daytona being 13 days away for the Truck Series, how their performance is going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be questionable because it's so late in the season and Daytona is pretty much next week, but the Truck Series 2 weeks away, so they're going to be working hard to get those tracks built, and you know, if he gets in the right situation, he can win. You know, Front Row Motorsports expanding their truck team, how much focus are they going to put on that? Are they going to focus on, I mean, obviously they are, but are they going to be more focused on their cup team or truck team, you know? And so sometimes that gets in the way a little bit. But if, you know, Todd has the right people, you know, if he has the right people around him, he might break out this year and have a couple wins under his name.
Yeah, I think he can pull off a winner. I think he can win at least. I mean, yeah, I haven't seen, obviously, Front Row Motorsports, the trucks program yet. Obviously, that question will be answered here in a few weeks going into the season. But I think Gilliland now, with not that shadow, Kyle Busch shadow over him, I think he has an opportunity to win a multiple races. I'm just going to play it safe and go with two. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen, you know, how, you know, you brought up a good point there, Briar, about how much focus are they going to put in the truck team with their, obviously their cup teams with McDowell and Johnner Nemechek, a rookie this year up there in the Cup Series. So that's going to be interesting how they divide and conquer that situation there. But I think Gilliland, the talent obviously is there for that young man, that young kid, and I just really interested to see with all, I mean, there's pressure to win, yeah, but I think the pressure with him being in a much more, I get better environment for him, I think he could thrive in that environment and really show out in the Truck Series this year from in my opinion.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to watch, that's for sure.
Nice Motorsports, and we talked about Ross Chastain early on in the episode. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, the Truck Series preview, as the trucks will kick off here basically in, like Briar said, in 2 weeks. Nice Motorsports has to replace Ross Chastain. Obviously, we talked about him early on in this podcast, and Ty Majeski joining Nice Motorsports full-time this year. And he's going to basically take the seat of Ross Chastain there. And I'll touch more on Natalie Decker in just a second, but Ty Majeski, Breyer, filling in there for Ross, taking the seat of the 45 truck after the run they made a year ago. Majeski, we've seen him a bunch of times. Obviously, his background is also in dirt also, if I'm not mistaken. He's driven in ARCA possibility. You have more information on him than I do. But Majeski, we seen him a couple years ago in the Xfinity Series, where that was a nightmarish year for that 60 team and for Majeski. But Majeski's got a lot of talent, short tracks. Majeski needs more sports. Can Majeski, obviously, you know, Ross Chastain, 4 wins a year ago, and this doesn't even count Kansas yet, but Majeski goes into a good situation with needs more sports. What are your thoughts on Ty Majeski and his chances in 2020?
Bold prediction, championship 4.
Oh, nice. Wow.
You know, Ty, we heard a lot about him before making some starts in NASCAR. And, you know, like you said, he didn't really have the best of situations in the Xfinity Series. I mean, with Roush Fenway. But he got back to the ARCA Series last year with the old Cunningham Motorsports team, which is now the Chad Bryant Racing team. He had 3 wins last year, and I felt like if maybe he was full-time, he probably would have ended up winning that championship just because, you know, this is such a good talent here. He's just been trying to find that niche and trying to find that right team to be able to show what he can do. And this year will be a big year for him, finally getting that shot with a full-time team, with a great team. I mean, it's a little bit of a bold prediction with him, like, going to Champ 4. But, you know, a lot of people didn't think Ross Chastain would have been in a Champ 4 last year either, but they made it. And I feel like, why not, you know? So, that'll be really, watching him will be really interesting to see.
Yeah, who would have thought last year when Ross Chastain made that move over? I kind of questioned it last year at that time, you know, but Ross Chastain made what's best for him, and he made it happen. That's pure and simple. We saw it last year in Kansas, obviously. I was there, and you were there last year, where Ross Chastain put on a show last year in KC there. So, yeah, needs more sports. They got some momentum going into this year. New driver Ty Majeski, and we'll find out for sure. Majeski, we'll see what happens with him. And Natalie Decker last year had a nightmarish year, first year in the truck series with DGR Crossley. She gets the part-time gig with Nissan Motorsports in a few races this year. And I talked about this a little bit in one of the off-season episodes. Decker, I mean, Haley Deegan, obviously a talent, her progression, they want to take her time with her. And I kind of wanted to relate this to Decker as well, who's been on the podcast, was on the podcast last year. And, you know, with her last year, and everybody saying, you know, it was a too quick of a progression moving her to full time, where when she should have been part time last year. So, big learning curve for Natalie last year, and I don't know what race she's running at the moment. I don't have her races in front of me at the moment, but for Natalie to at least improve from what was an adventurous first year for Natalie, what does she have to do? Obviously, Breyer, she has to run, stay on her racetrack, run all the laps, or at least most of them, and the other one are pretty much already, they're pretty much running together, is stay out of trouble, which, I mean, some of it was mechanical, but other times she had driver running. So, Decker, can she make some progressions here with her structure schedule with these more sports this year?
I feel like she can. You know, she's going to have a great and I would say an owner that she can rely on, obviously some other drivers that she can rely on for help and guidance. I'm not so sure if Ross Chastain is going to be back with the team to run a couple of part-time races, and she can lean on him and ask him for guidance and all that sort of thing. But yeah, you know, I always kind of tell this story, and it's so easy to say, but you know, looking at her stats, like right now, 2 years ago in the ARCA series, she ran full-time and she had 2 top 5s and 9 top 10s. I feel like she should have stayed in that series at least for 2 more years before making the jump right away to the truck series. Obviously, going from a stock car in the ARCA series to a truck is a huge learning curve. And I actually have her schedule out here right in front of me. She's going to race at Daytona, 2 Las Vegas races, Kansas, Pocono, Kentucky, Canada, and Talladega. So those are going to be some challenging tracks for her, especially the super speedway races and the road course there in Canada, because we all know how that race could play out. but, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure. That team performed really well last year with Ross Chastain.
Yep.
Majeski's going to have a lot of pressure. She's going to have a lot of pressure. So she just needs to be running up front, probably getting some top 10s, and, you know, maybe later in the season get that top 5s. And if she's lucky, make some huge news and get a win.
This is the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Briar Starr from Speedway Media on the podcast here this afternoon for the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series preview. Yeah, so it'll be interesting for sure. I mean, Ross Chastain set the bar pretty high. So, yeah, Ty Majeski, yeah, he's got big shoes to fill, and Decker is going to have to show the NASCAR world that she learned from last year and to take the positive steps. For the only way she can go is forward, that's for sure. And, yeah, she should have, I agree, she should have stayed in the ARCA series another year before getting at least a part-time in the trucks, at least for my opinion, definitely. But, yeah, Decker, yeah, she's going to have to show folks that she's improved from last year, or at least learn from her mistakes and make the proper progressions. Staying on the female train here for a minute here, this girl made history last year, finishing the top 10 last year in the opening race in the truck series. Angela Ruck will be back, or is back, but she's running all the races this year in the number 00 Chevy Silverado there. And she, if in NCAA terms, came out of nowhere last year, shocked the world, finished in the top 10 last year, which was pretty impressive last year. And then we didn't really hear from her that much. I mean, she ran quite a few more races after that. Didn't hear much from her rest last year. So, on that note, Briar, what do you expect from Angela Ruck in her first full-time year in the truck series this year, going in?
It's going to be interesting to watch. I feel like, you know, she's going to be with a different team. She was with Nice Motorsports last year, and now she's with Rayum Brothers Racing, which has showed some speed with Jesse Iwuji and with a lot of other different drivers. They had a lot of different drivers last year. It was kind of hard to keep up with. So it's going to be questionable. It's a question mark right now, just because how much money are they going to receive for to give her good equipment? I need to see at least 2 to 3 races after Daytona, because we all know Daytona can be a wild card. But Atlanta, Las Vegas, and then Martinsville, I need to see what transpires out of that team, because that team is averaging top 20 finish, and sometimes they get lucky and they finish in the top 15. So I have to wait and see on that one. This is a little too hard for me to tell right now about Angela Ruck, but I feel like she could perform and exceed her expectations and maybe get a couple of top 15s for that team.
With the expanded playoffs here in 2020, which we'll get to here in a second, there are a lot of other drivers that are running truck races this year. Tanner Gray is going full-time in 2020. And Nice Motorsports adding another driver to doing a partial schedule, which is Carson Hochaver, with Nice Motorsports doing his part-time schedule this year. Jesse Little doing a few races there. Clay Greenfield Motorsports in the mix there. Jordan Anderson wants to expand his team. Of course, Jordan Anderson will be driving as well there. So, and there's probably a few more others that we'll learn as the 2020 season is about to kick off. Breyer, which driver stands out to you going into the 2020 season? I know there's a lot of drivers doing the part-time thing and a couple drivers doing full-time. So out of the ones that we haven't talked about here thus far in the podcast, which driver stands out to you going into this season?
That's a really great question. Are we talking about the ones that we haven't already mentioned?
Yeah, we haven't already mentioned. So, yeah, like Jesse Little. I haven't even mentioned Young's Motorsports yet. But those guys, Jordan Anderson, yeah. I mean, which one or two that you're interested in?
I'm interested in seeing Jordan Anderson perform a little bit higher. Last year, he had a couple of good races, and he's back with his own team and a continued sponsorship with, I think, Lucas Oil as a sponsor. So that'll be interesting to watch. And there, I was researching last night for the show. I seen that the ARCA race team that is Winchon Racing, they're having Howie DeSalvino III. Making their debut at Richmond in April, which is his hometown track. So I'm eager to see how that team performs. So there's a lot of great news coming out of the Truck Series this year with a lot of new drivers, some new teams. You know, last year was kind of a down year for the Truck Series, but there were some, you know, races that only had, like, 28 trucks, 27 trucks, 32. I mean, we had 32 trucks for most races, but there were a couple races, like, you know, I was kind of disappointed at Kansas where we only had maybe 29 trucks.
Yeah,
full field. So it's definitely, I think this year is going to be a breakout year in the Truck Series with a lot of different teams, new drivers, new faces, and everything like that.
Yeah, you got to have more. You gotta have at least 32, because with this new playoff structure that the Truck Series implemented this year, from 8 to 10, you gotta have at least 20 teams, at least full time, or something in that range, or something. And now we finally talk about the playoff structure, which for the last few years has been 8, which was the perfect number, in my opinion. Now it's been moved up to 10. I wasn't, when this announcement came up, I was not a fan of this move, because 8's the perfect, at least for the Truck Series concern anyways, 8's the perfect number, and you get a lot more drama, especially last year, Kyle Busch Motorsports missing the playoffs, which, if I go back to my stance from last year, real quick here, I think Sheldon Creek would have made it last year, so. And Harrison Burton. One of those three drivers would have made it last year anyways. But now you open the door for two more teams possibly. So you have to have at least 15 teams that are full-time this year. But, yeah, I wasn't on board with this. But, hey, it might grow on me here when it comes. But 10 teams start off the playoffs. Two get eliminated after the first round. And then I guess it's four after, before the championship four, if I'm not mistaken there. So, yeah, 10 teams will go down to four, championship four in Phoenix, And, of course, your champion, which our defending champion in the Gannon Outdoor Truck Series, is Matt Crafton. So, Briar, I'm going to put a two-in-one question on you here. So, what do you think about this format? And can Matt Crafton get back to Phoenix Championship Four and tie Ron Hornaday?
Well, to answer your first question, I probably feel like, I guess everybody likes the Truck Series if they want to add two more drivers to the playoffs. Because obviously they paid attention to the racing last year, and it was the best racing out of any series.
Oh, yeah, involved.
But I know, I'm like you. I wish we could keep it at eight. I feel like we're kind of getting too creative with the playoffs, expanding it to 10. If we expand it to 12, that's going to be a little bit much, because there are some teams that just don't have the funding to win and run up front in the Truck Series.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this year is experiment to see if it will work. And maybe if it doesn't work, then maybe next year it'll get back down to 8. But, man, I agree with you. I really wish we could have kept it at 8. Like you said, there was a lot of drama the way it was. So, it's going to be interesting to watch, but I'm just, right now, not a huge fan. to answer your second question, that's a great question, because Matt is, for a lot of people that don't know, age 39 is the peak performance of a race car driver. Obviously, Matt has proven that wrong, because he won the championship last year. But he's started to get up there at the Ron Hornaday age, and maybe will the age start to play into factor into some of these races, the restart, the reaction times, and all this sort of stuff. So I had no doubt that Crafton will make it back, but he's starting to get up there in those years, and he's been around the Truck Series for a long time now. Of course, he knows what to do, and he's so experienced and all that. But will age be a factor this season? We'll just have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, we'll have to see with Crafton, obviously, with, GMS, Hattori Racing this year. And, yeah, I've learned that over the past few months about the peak of a driver's peaking rate age there. So I've learned that in the last few months there. So that is always an interesting stat right there, Briar, for sure. But, I was not a big fan of the change. But, it's like giving out participation trophies now, if you will. Should have kept it at where it was at 8, and you've hit on some good points in that. So definitely, a lot of these truck teams, at least half these truck teams, don't have the financial backing to run full-time. You see a lot, we talked about it a lot in this podcast here this afternoon, a lot of new drivers doing the partial schedules. So it's going to be interesting to see who the 9th and 10th teams, or I should say 9th and 10th individual/teams, are by the regular season's end, which leads me to the 2020 schedule here. Obviously, the highlights, Homestead being moved up to March from their old slot, back to the last race of the entire year. And then two others gets added on, if you will, the return of the trucks to Martinsville at the end of the year, October 30th, that's in the postseason. And then you got to go back up here to, I had it a moment ago. Dang it, there we go. Okay, so, and the return of the trucks to Richmond in April 18th, they were the Toyota Care 250, the truck, short tracks. Everybody keeps talking about, we've heard the same song for the last year and change, about we want more short tracks, whether it's the Cup Series level, Xfinity Series, or trucks. And you just said it, Briar, that we saw, and I fully agree with you 100%, we saw the best racing in a Truck Series last year, no doubt. So, and we see some more Short Track's added Richmond. That's going to be a good scene. And obviously, Martinsville. We already know the anticipation in the Cup Series this year with both Martinsville races. So, Briar, what are your thoughts on the overall schedule?
I'm really excited for it. I'm excited to see the tracks return to Richmond. I wasn't around. Well, I was around, but I was very young to remember seeing the trucks at Richmond, watching them on TV. And so I'm glad that probably, I guess, 20 years later now that I'll be able to see the trucks return to Richmond. That's going to have, I think it's a Thursday night race. So that's going to have a lot of hype around it. Hopefully it'll bring some fans into town, and maybe it'll be packed off like it was 20 years ago.
That would be really good for NASCAR if that were to happen, for sure. Definitely. So we'll see what happens here. Obviously, Daytona in a couple weeks, the Next Era Energy 250, February 14th, and then the trucks head west for Las Vegas on the 21st. And then obviously Atlanta got moved up to March 14th, and then yes, Homestead, the other key race there, March 20th. And then kind of a last note on the trucks here, real quick here. The Triple Truck Challenge. Last year, debuted last year in the Truck Series, and nobody won all three races last year. This time around, dates got moved up a little bit. It seemed it got moved up from what I can tell there anyways. So the three races this year, Briar, Richmond, we talked about it already. Dover is a part of this. And, of course, the famous Charlotte Motor Speedway will get the last Triple Truck Challenge race in 2020. So, what were your thoughts about the challenge last year, and are you looking forward to seeing some more exciting racing in this part of the schedule?
Yeah, the challenge last year threw a unique twist to the series. I mean, obviously, we saw Craig Biffle come back and win at Texas and took the money away from the full-time Truck Series guys. So, and this is a little interesting nugget I found, too, in that news release, is that the entry deadline restriction for the eligibility has been removed. So I guess we can thank Greg Biffle for that happening. It's definitely going to be interesting to watch. You know, they're going to be a driver like Greg Biffle that comes from the Cup Series, comes back and runs those races. Maybe this is a bold prediction, but will Jimmy Johnson come and run with the trucks at one of those Triple Truck Challenges next year if they bring that back? So, yeah, you know, it kind of seems like these little unique twists that adds to the Truck Series kind of gets the interest to the retired drivers, and they contact the team and say, hey, I kind of want to run for you and win one of these races. Let's see if we can make something happen.
Yeah, so definitely it'll be interesting to see what twists and turns happen when the Truck Series, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, hits this part of the schedule. You're in the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here with Briar Starr of Speedway Media. And another kind of something I stumbled on this week, an old familiar face returning to the pit box from Fox, Jeff Hammond, is going to be crew chief for Clay Greenfield Motorsports for 8 races this season. So I'm excited for that, to see him back in action. Obviously, I didn't see him do his thing with Darrell Walter back in the day, but he's going to go back to the pit box and do some crew chiefing.
Yeah, I was really excited to hear that. I wanted to write a story on that right away when I heard that, because Jeff Hammond in the Truck Series, that's different. I'm not sure if he's crew chiefed for the Truck Series. I'd have to go do some research. But yeah, I was really excited that, you know, I replied back to somebody on Twitter. I said, this is really cool and great for the series. So obviously he was on the race day shows last year, I think, for the Truck Series, precluding the Truck Series. So maybe he got an interest and was excited about the series, or it's just this opportunity happened to come about, and you know, he just probably couldn't turn that offer down. So it will definitely be really. I'm really excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah, me too, as well. Definitely. Jeff Hammond, be back in the saddle, in his words, this year as crew chief for Clay Greenfield's team. So, Breyer, you made one bold prediction already today on this podcast. Obviously, this episode won't be out until its normal day next week. So, do you have any more bold predictions that you want to put out? Obviously, the Ty Bajeski one, I really like that one. So, do you have any more predictions going into 2020, 2 weeks for the Truck Series?
So, I know I'm kind of early on this, but I'm already thinking about the Championship Four.
Okay.
So, I kind of, you know, why not make some bold predictions, you know? I
mean, yeah.
Bold predictions are fun. Okay, so I think Crafton's going to be back for the Champ Four if he can continue his success. Maybe Boris Bark gets back on that winning train. So if they do that, then Crafton is back in the Champ Four. Majeski in the Champ Four.
Okay.
Tyler Ankrum is going to be the Champ Four. And I know this may not happen, but I'm really going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to say Rafael Lazard.
Okay. Hey, yeah, why not? Have fun with it. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, Championship Four prediction right there. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to stay on that same subject, Championship Four. All right, so I'm going to have to mark those down after the show's over. But all right, so for me, at least at this point, yeah, it's early, but hey, why not? All right, so I'm going to go off a limb and say Crafton does not return to Championship Four. And insert Austin Hill. For some reason, I can't get off the bandwagon. Obviously, I'm from Georgia. He's from Georgia. He's going to find a way to maneuver himself back in the postseason, but into the Championship Four. I really want to say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Ty Gillen will make a run.
Okay.
He's going to be a part of it. Championship Four. Brett Moffitt will return to the Championship Four. One of the normalees. And let's see who we have not talked about. That's three, right? Man, so difficult. After a disappointing year last year, Johnny Sauter, does he have enough in him? Sauter won one last year and disappeared. Got in that mess with Hill. So, Hill makes it, and Johnny Sauter will go back to the Championship Four and meet up with Hill again, Gillen, and dang it, I forgot who I said for my fourth one there.
I believe it was Brett Moffitt.
Yeah, Moffitt, yeah. So Moffitt, Sauter. Yeah, that's right. Moffitt, Sauter, Gillen. And yeah, I'm getting sideways now with it. But yeah, so yeah, Hill, Moffitt, Sauter, and Gillen. There we go. As the four, the bold prediction four I have of the year. And I'm going to go with an unpredicted winner to start off the year at Daytona. Daytona, anything can happen, and I'm gonna stick with you, Breyer, with this. Tyler Ankrum had all the momentum last year, and I think Tyler Ankrum is going to win the first race of the year.
Okay. that's an interesting pick. I want to go with Tanner Gray for DGR Crossley.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey.
Just try to put the bold predictions, you know. It's fun. It's kind of wait and see what happens, so.
That's right. That's right. 3Wide NASCAR podcast here. Bold predictions, truck series preview. EG3 here with Speedway Media's Breyer Starr. Just a few more minutes with him on the podcast here, and this will go out on its usual day next week, Wednesday night. You guys can check it out if you're already checking it out already. Appreciate you guys listening this afternoon to the podcast. Briar, I know we're approaching 2020 NASCAR season. What have you been doing to prepare yourself for 2020?
I was just kind of taking the off season all in, because we know once the racing season gets underway, there's no off weekends. And so, for me, I was recently promoted to a senior journalist at Speedway Media. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. I was very excited about that. That was obviously a little off-season news for me, so my schedule is obviously probably going to get picked up this year, aside from covering the track series. I still will dedicate my heart and soul to the track series, because I love that series so much. now that we're Daytona's next week, and we've had pretty much all of our off season pretty much over with. This is the last weekend. I'm just ready for it to come back. I kind of missed watching the Truck Series and not all the other series on the racetrack. I'm kind of excited to see the new changes, new drivers, obviously in the Truck Series, but the different changes a little bit in the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series. So just ready to get the 2020 season and the new decade of racing underway.
I think we can all echo that same statement with you. We've missed a lot of race. I mean, yes, NASCAR is the shortest off season in all of sports, but yeah, we missed a lot of race. We miss racing on the track each and every week, and definitely we're anxious. Obviously, we got the Super Bowl still on Sunday, and then it's full on bowl with NASCAR. So definitely anxious to see the trucks /Xfinity/Cup Series to be back at Daytona basically next week, like you mentioned early in this podcast. So definitely pumped up for NASCAR, pumped up for the Super Bowl, which I will end with the podcast with that in just a second. How was your visit to K-State? I know you went to the basketball game a few weeks ago. How's Bramlage?
Bramlage was fun as usual. I got to help out with some sports information /statistics. So that was a new unique twist for me. It was something different than I had never tried, and I'm always the kind of person that I want to step out of my comfort zone and just try something new to grasp my attention. And so it was a great challenge, because they needed some help, because K-State at that time was in Memphis for the bowl game, and then of course the Chiefs were also playing on that day too, so they obviously kind of wore down a little bit of help with K-State in Memphis that week. And so but it was a great time. I guess 2-0 for the men's team right now. They were trailing down a little bit when I was there, but they came back and won it, so maybe I'm good luck. I don't know.
The men's team, they need all the help they get right now. But hey, they came coming off a win against Oklahoma the other night there, so they're in a step in the right direction. They're obviously you can call it a rebuilding mode or whatever it is you can call it. But yeah, they've definitely had their struggles this year, and they've missed a couple opportunities to win some more games. But hey, I mean, to pick up wins against Oklahoma and West Virginia at home, those are huge wins there for K-State. So,
oh yeah, no doubt. I kind of hope Kansas was obviously a Kansas was obviously a big newsmaker.
Oh boy,
yeah. That was kind of brutal. I'm really intrigued to see what's going to happen, I guess, next month, at the end of the month in February, when Kansas comes to Bramlage. It's going to be a rowdy crowd, that's for sure, in Bramlage next month.
Yeah, rowdy. Yeah, times times 10 for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely anxious to see what happens on February 29th when KU comes to Manhattan. The atmosphere and pretty much for those games, I learned when I transferred to Manhattan to K-State that the student section, everybody steps up a notch, and it's just more and more hostile environments in college basketball. I really love it, and that place is going to be rocking on the 29th, that's for sure. So looking forward to that, and looking forward to the Super Bowl on Sunday. I'm going to end it with the Super Bowl right here. Breyer, obviously, the Chiefs, second team for me. My team didn't make the playoffs, even though they won 6 of last 8 to go out in the offseason. The Chiefs finally get back to the Super Bowl after 50 years. Now have a chance to bring the trophy home back to Kansas City against the 49ers, which my team, the Falcons, beat the 49ers late in the year. That was a big win for us there. So, Chiefs, Breyer, can they pull this thing off?
I don't know. I'm really nervous for this game. I was so nervous for the AFC Championship game. I mean, I never counted the Titans out all the way until the last minute. And when they scored their final touchdown with, I think, like a minute 40 left in that game, I was like, oh my God, we're going to lose this game. Everybody's going to be so mad. It's going to be like a riot in Kansas City. And I wasn't counting them out because too many times we have gotten our hopes up, see the last year's championship game against the Patriots. So, that's an interesting question. I really want the Chiefs to win. I think everybody in Kansas does, even if you're not a football fan.
Right.
I feel like everyone wants the Chiefs to win, and it's probably going to be a hell of a party up there in Kansas City if they do win too.
Yeah, that's that's what I said earlier.
Yeah, hopefully go Chiefs.
Yeah, that's probably a perfect way to end this episode here. Yeah, definitely. If they were to pull us off, it's going to be one heck of a party in KC. Yeah, I'm right in the thick of it. Yeah, I'm, like I said, Chiefs are second nature for me. I want them to win it. Yeah, the Midwest wants the Chiefs to win. Yeah, it's been a crazy week up here for sure. So Sunday's going to go down, and when this episode comes out, we will know for sure who won Super Bowl 54. But yeah, man, very excited for this game, and hopefully it's better than the last Super Bowl from last year. That was awful. But yeah, I'm looking forward not watching the Patriots aren't obviously in, obviously, so very excited for that. Two different teams, fresh. So really, really, really excited for this game, and we'll see what unfolds. So there you go. So all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna wrap things up for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast here this afternoon. Breyer, thanks for hopping on and doing this preview with me, and the 2020 season, man, it's almost here, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Glad we could able to do a truck series preview. Trucks that are near to my heart. I've been covering of them several years ago and still doing it. And I just love the series. There's so many great stories in this. I guess series again, but this year is definitely going to be interesting. With it's kind of like a new era, I guess.
Yeah,
new drivers, not new teams, but just the new drivers, and just kind of curious to see how it all plays out.
Sounds good. Well, have a good weekend. We'll probably hook up in the middle of the season at some point. So 2020, new decade, new year, and let's see what happens on the racetrack, man.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, thanks, man. That was good.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 wide.